Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday morning, midweek, Wednesday, February the 7th, 2024, however you would like to say it, 16 minutes past the hour, 27 degrees and mostly sunny skies outside. Now, this morning, I, for whatever reason, got moving a little earlier than I normally do. So when I was out this morning getting my large diet soda, it was still dark outside. So I really couldn't tell if it was going to be a nice sunny morning or not. But now that I look through the window, it's kind of sunny out there. So not bad at all. Another day with the sun like yesterday. Do have an update right off the bat here this morning about our show yesterday. As I said, there was a listener who was asking our good friend here at the station, Pastor Craig, to pray for one of his friends who her child was going in for a surgery yesterday. And I'm glad to report I got a message this morning at 1:20 a.m. that the success was a surgery. After the surgery, she was awake for a bit, and she smiled and tried to give a thumbs up. She won't be back fully mentally for a week or so, but she did come through okay. It was a success. So we're all glad to hear that, and so glad that that person contacted us, and we were able to send them over to Pastor Craig, and he prayed for them and all involved, and it looks like it turned out okay. So what a great story. We like the happy stories here on the morning show. So we're glad that that went on. Now, I also want to talk about something that was on my mind. We're going to get to a lot of things this morning that had to do with yesterday's program. But here's a real thinker off the bat. Because I've been thinking a lot about Groundhog Day. You know, there was all this fol-de-rol going into Groundhog Day about should we use real groundhogs? And we had Miss Ohio in a groundhog suit. And there was attention and people like this and national and all this. All the stuff that goes along with Groundhog Day. Now, Punxsutawney Phil said there was going to be an early spring. And our groundhog said there was going to be six more weeks of winter. Now, spring is March 21st. Now, here's my question. How do you tell if there's an early spring or six more weeks of winter? Because this week, temperatures are above what they normally are. 50 degrees is above what it's supposed to be the first week of February. But next week, it's supposed to drop back into the 30s. So how do you tell if you've had an early spring or six more weeks of winter? And does that just go for 6 weeks? Because we've had snow in April. So how do you get these predictions, really? How do you check up on these things? I mean, does it have to be cold every day? Or does it have to be above a certain temperature for it to be an early spring? I mean, what is an early spring? Because next week we're going to have days in the 30s, highs in the 30s. Now, does that mean it's not an early spring? Or do you have to have snow? I mean, what does all this mean? You know, a lot of this whole groundhog stuff is really a little bit of mumbo jumbo when you think about it. What means an early spring? Does anybody have a definition for this? Because obviously between Groundhog Day, February 2nd, and the first day of spring, March the 21st, some things obviously have to happen to let you know, was it an early spring or was it 6 more weeks of winter? And how many times have we had an Easter that was not really that warm at all? So does anybody have any idea out there what an early spring is or what 6 more weeks of winter is? How do we determine these things? Give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What's the difference between an early spring and 6 more weeks of winter? Because the way weather goes around here, it's just kind of up and down. I mean, 50 degrees this week, 30 degrees next week. I would say that we would probably get another snow. That would not be unlikely in late February or early March. And as I've said, we've gotten snow into the month of April. So I don't know. What is an early spring and what is 6 more weeks of winter? If anybody has any idea, because it's all very confusing to me on the whole, let me know. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. These are questions. For years, have we just taken this for granted? That, okay, well, that was an early spring. That was 6 more weeks of winter. How do we know this stuff? Where does it come from? Like right now, I can hear birds chirping. So this is a nice week. But next week, I don't think you're going to hear any birds chirping with high temperatures in the 30s. Again, if anybody knows, if anybody has any idea how we get an early spring or 6 more weeks of winter, give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, that to me sounds like some kind of a gardening question. You know, what means an early spring? I mean, do you remember last spring, when it actually was spring, in April and May, that we did not have, or how was this last year? See, the memory goes away pretty quick. We had a lot of mornings where it did. I don't think it ever got below 32 in May. Let's start there. I think that's what happened. We never had a day in May, although I was not tracking the weather every day, in May last year, where the temperature got below 32. But we had cool days in May last year, but I don't think we ever had a day where the temperature got below 32 degrees. So that was nice weather, but May, I don't remember being particularly warm. I remember a few warm days in May. And if we look at summer last year, I don't think it was a particularly warm summer. I remember that we had a lot of rain in the month of July. So I don't know. I guess the question is, what makes for an early spring? How do we tell if these groundhogs are right or not? What's an early spring versus 6 more weeks of winter? So if you know, give us a buzz here. We'd love to hear from you. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. See, that's a very, it's kind of a riddle to start off the program this morning. Okay. What else did we want to talk about here this morning? Well, okay, here's something that I found interesting, because apparently I have no memory of things day to day. Now, I'm going to tell you what I mean. I do this show in the morning, and then I run into several people during the day who tell me things, and sometimes I can remember them, and sometimes I don't remember them. So yesterday, I made it a point to write down things that people were telling me. Because I do get to hear a lot of interesting things when I'm out and about. Now, here are the things that people were telling me yesterday. Now, last summer, I think it was in July, I did a video. I was asked by a girl named Miranda Hundley. Miranda Hundley was doing these true crime podcasts here in Marion. Now, everybody loves true crime. And she wanted to do one on the Gypsy Queen, who's buried over in the St. Mary Cemetery. And she had found a newspaper article in which I had stayed all night in the cemetery with the Gypsy Queen, waiting for gypsies to come. So she wanted to interview me. And we did that last summer. And I think that episode was put up and people watched it, and that was fun. Well, yesterday I was out in public and somebody came up to me and said, you're the guy who knows about the Gypsy Queen. And in the beginning, I had no idea what he was talking about, because normally I don't get associated with the Gypsy Queen very often. He said, you're the guy who knows about the Gypsy Queen. And I said, well, I know about the Gypsy Queen. And he said, I saw you in that video Miranda did about the Gypsy Queen. And I said, oh, yeah, I did do that. And he went through the whole story about how he thought the Gypsy Queen was very fascinating and so on and so forth. And I thought it was. So that was a nice little thing yesterday. Glad people watched those videos. Now, another thing yesterday was something had to do with the groundhog. People, ever since Groundhog Day, have been showing me pictures of Groundhog Day morning of our groundhog, Warren Groundhog Harding and Miss Ohio and Mary Ellen Withrow. And a guy came up to me yesterday and said, was your event open to the public? And I said, well, kinda and kinda not. We really didn't have the area for a great big crowd, so we didn't really advertise it as an event that the public can come to. But if people did want to come, that was fine. Well, this guy wanted to come to the event. So next year, maybe we'll work on something where we can allow people to come to the event. Because if people want to see the person in the groundhog suit take their head off, we can certainly do that. So that went on yesterday. Now, here's probably the most important thing I learned yesterday, and I'm glad I wrote this down because I'm sure I would have forgotten it between now and then. Now, I have to be somewhat judicious in making this announcement. I was told yesterday that there is a business in downtown Marion that will very soon be going out of business. Now, yeah, I know you're going to say, well, what's the business? Well, here's the problem. I cannot tell you the business because when the person told me this, they said, don't tell anybody because they know I do the radio program here. So they said this very confidentially. They said, but, you know, don't say anything. So I'm not going to say anything and I'm not going to give any hints, but I figured I would be safe enough to say that there's going to be a business in downtown Marion that's going to go out of business probably within the next 4 to 6 weeks. And I guess when it happens, I'll be able to say, hey, remember on February the 7th when I said that that business was going to go out of business? I had the tip. But I don't want to betray this person's trust and tell you what's going out of business, but I do. I guess if you were sitting here with me right now, you would know what business is going out of business because I have it written down on the paper. But, yes, there is a business in downtown Marion that I would say the way this person talked will be going out of business within the next 6 weeks. So, you can have your ideas as to what that is, but we have the scoop here, as you would say. And I wish I could tell you, but again, when somebody tells me something off the record or they tell me something in private, I don't want to spread it around, which is why I'm not telling you what it is or who told me or anything like that. But I was kind of surprised when I heard about this because I had not heard any rumblings about this. But it goes to show you, you know, a lot of people downtown, and I like the people downtown, and I think what they're doing is great, but they build up certain things, and, you know, it's kind of strange, because they're always trying to promote things, but I guess maybe the businesses aren't getting what they need downtown. Well, obviously this one isn't. So that's the way it goes. But, you know, I guess that doesn't stop hard work. I will tell you this. The person I was talking to yesterday made a very interesting observation about downtown Marion. They said there are a lot of people in downtown Marion that go to the Third Thursdays and they go to the restaurants and they go to the things in downtown Marion, but that it's the same 1,000 people. That there's about 1,000 people, but they all attend the same events. Or they work downtown. That there's no influx of people, new people, coming to downtown Marion. That yes, they have all these events, and yes, they do all these things, but it's the same 1,000 people. So no new people are getting brought in. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's what this person told me, who gave me the information in regard to the closing in downtown Marion. So my question is, do you believe that that's true? Do you believe that the people who hang out in downtown Marion are probably the same 1,000 people? Do you believe that maybe this is one of the hang-ups when it comes to what's going on in downtown Marion? If you have any thoughts on that, or if you can tell me what an early spring is, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz and we can discuss it. Or if you have a guess, we're back to the guessing game again. If you have a guess as to what you think the business is that might be closing in downtown Marion, you can guess if you like. Now, I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong because I don't want to give away the secret here. But I guess if you put the guess on record, when it does happen, we'll be able to say, okay, well, you guessed it right. So what business do you think might be going out of business in downtown Marion in the next 6 weeks or so? And do you think it is true that about the same 1,000 people are going to all the events in downtown Marion, and that's what's causing things like business closures? So again, phone lines are open if you're interested in talking about that. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I think downtown Marion is its own little culture. I find it fascinating. I think that... you know what? See, this is why I forget things day to day, and something just crossed my mind. Okay. The other day... Now, this was not a story that was widely covered in the news. But did anybody hear about this story in a trailer? I guess it happened a few weeks ago. In the trailer park in Caledonia, apparently there was a couple, an older couple. I don't know how old they were, but an older couple that I'm trying to remember how this story happened. But I don't know if they honked their horn or what happened, but a group of people, younger people, came out and just beat the tar out of this couple. Beat the man up, and I guess I pulled his pants down around his ankles, I guess maybe so he couldn't walk around. They beat his wife up. So on and so forth. There was a whole little mess there with this over in Caledonia. And I guess they're going to trial this week. Now, here's how I know this, because I ran into the guy that got beat up the other day. And he was telling me this story. And I'll tell you this, he's got... How do I say this without giving it away? Because this is one of those situations, again, where I'm not sure that I want to tell the whole story. But he showed me that he has some protection now because apparently these people who beat him up are his neighbors. And apparently the person who owns the trailer park is not making them move out. So after they go to court, whatever the decision is, there's going to be a little bit of trouble, I guess, because there's still his neighbor, and he's a little worried for he and his wife. So he showed me exactly what protection he had. And I'll tell you, this poor guy, this incident couldn't have happened all that long ago because he still had black eyes. There were parts of his face that were still black and blue. I mean, it was awful. But he's got some protection now. And I think about stuff like this, and I think that's just a disaster waiting to happen. Because now you've got an older couple that's been beat up. Their neighbors are the ones who beat them up. They are going to court about this, and now they've got protection, and they're still living as neighbors. Now, to me, this seems like a problem. And I don't know how that's all going to end. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But I can give you that one firsthand because I saw the guy, wasn't yesterday, the day before. And, you know, he's serious about not getting beat up again. But like I say, this happened fairly recently because I could still see the black and blue marks all over him. And then I thought, well, what in the world is going over in Caledonia? You know, normally you don't hear a whole lot of stories like that coming out of Caledonia. But then it goes back to what I said, what was it, around Christmas time? I said, there are a lot of very nice people in Caledonia. As a matter of fact, I believe my father was born in Caledonia. I really don't know that he was born there. I could be making that might be a misstep. But I know he grew up over there. Let me put it that way. I know he lived over there most of his life as a child because his parents lived over there. But there are clearly, so again, very nice people in Caledonia, a lot of good people. I've lit the Christmas tree over there on two separate occasions. But I look at stories like this. With the couple getting beat up and now having protection and their neighbors did it and nobody's making the neighbors leave. And I go back to what I said around the first of the year, that there are just some people in Caledonia, and, you know, I'm sure we have these people everywhere, but Caledonia is such a small place. I don't know how many people live in that. Is it called a village? I think it's still called a village. It's such a small area that I think for something like this to happen is a little strange because there are so few people over in Caledonia. And there are some people over there that God bless their heart, are just nothing but trouble. And I think this story here is kind of apoplectic of that whole situation. But anyway, do you have anything to say about that story? Did anybody else hear about that story? About the couple getting beat up over in Caledonia by their neighbors? I don't know if the guy even told me why they got beat up. Honking the horn, was that what he said? I'll tell you, if honking the horn gets you beat up and your wife beat up and apparently your pants removed, I don't know what kind of world we're living in these days. Go ahead, caller.
Stop with all the Caledonia bashing stuff.
I know, I'm going to get in trouble. I can feel it already.
So where was this, in the village, or was it at the trailer park just south of town?
It was my understanding. I mean, we did not get into directions, but the gentleman who was involved in it told me that it was in Caledonia at the trailer park.
Okay. Well, I'm going to probably say that it was just south of town there. That's the actual trailer park, so there are several trailers in the village of Caledonia, but it's not a park per se, so.
So you had not heard about this?
I have not, no.
Well, but, this is breaking news.
When do you hear about, like, you know, local crimes and stuff like that? Very rarely, unless you're the victim of one.
Well, you know, I felt that this was breaking news then this morning. It's like CNN here all of a sudden on this
yeah.
station.
No, I... You're, helicopter and fly it out to Caledonia.
Well, you know, I'm going to get mad up in that helicopter before it's over with. But I when I heard that and I saw this man, I mean, it couldn't have been too long ago because he's still beat up pretty bad.
That's unfortunate.
Well, what made me sad was that, you know, his wife obviously was an older lady as well, and apparently she got smacked around a little bit. And these people are still their neighbors. So I kept thinking, well, my goodness, after you go to court, how's that going to go over? And then he showed me his protection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It's fun times.
Nothing but how many people are in Caledonia?
Approximately 500 some odd people.
And is it still considered a village?
It is.
Okay.
It is. You can, so when they incorporated as a village, that's when they reached 500 people, and that was back in like 1873. So once you, before that, you could be an unincorporated, you know, town or whatever. But once your population reached 500, you can go to the county commissioners, or that's how they did it back in the day, and say, hey, we've got 500 people. We want to vote on incorporating as our own village.
Well, and that's why this story was a little odd, because we're talking 500 people. Now, in Marion City, we've got 32,000. So when you have crime in Marion per capita, 32,000 is a lot of people. But in a village of 500, to have a beating like this going on, you know, that's a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah, no, it's a generally peaceful town. So anytime you do have it, it's going to be amplified. I mean, somebody told me the other day, I was talking, and I don't know, but they said, I don't know what the time frame is, but like seven shootings in Marion over, you know, relatively short periods. Have you heard anything about this? Again, we don't have any of this transparency. You don't know what's going on. Just like they found that body on, you know, in the ditch over there on 309, that woman from Tennessee. Well, you hear about it, but what's the resolution? Will we ever know?
Well, you know what's funny about all that? The police department and the sheriff's department, they release, and the prosecutors, they release what they want you to know in press releases. And other than that, unless you go there every day and force them to tell you, but you also kind of have to know what happened. Because if you don't ask the question, they're not going to give you the answer if they don't want to. And it's also been my understanding. It's kind of like when I talked to the coroner a few years ago, and the coroner said, well, you'd be surprised how many suicides go on, but that obviously is never reported in an obituary. And I think the police department and the sheriff's department kind of run on the same idea, that if nobody's murdered and somebody shoots off a gun, or it's like a grazing blow, it's like car accidents. Unless somebody's killed or somebody's very injured, I mean, those don't make press releases.
Right. Well, it's just like drug overdoses and things, you know, especially here a couple years ago, you know, when the gentleman put the signs out that heroin is Marion's economy, you know, there was a huge number of those, and then you didn't hear about it, you know?
No, and you know, I always felt that was unfortunate because, you know, I remember that, and I was on the air at that time, and all that did was get Marion on the Columbus News in a very bad way, but you could have done that in any town, and I would say it would have had the same effect. If you'd have went to Ontario and done the same thing, it would have got the same response because it was an odd story that somebody in the town puts these signs up. You know, they never gave you any statistics. If you go back and cover that story, and I call the Columbus media very lazy on this one, they reported that the signs were out there and they talked to the people who put out the signs, but they never gave you any statistics on what the actual drug usage was in Marion.
Well, I think that you could also go the other route and say that there were people with their heads in the sands and in denial and saying that it wasn't a big problem. It was a big problem, is a big problem, and it's not limited to Marion by any means, but it was definitely something that I think should have drawn public attention and attention from public officials, for sure.
I think so, but I guess my point was, I would, and I've always asked for these statistics, and it's hard to do because, you know, not everybody gets caught doing illegal things. And how many, you know, Ontario versus Marion versus Columbus versus Richwood, you know, what are the numbers? What is the percentage? Because I was told in Richwood years ago after that happened, I was there, and one of the police officers at this little fair that was going on said, we have the same problem over here, if not bigger. We're just smaller, so you don't hear about it.
Well, I mean, that's when you live in the dark ages of journalism and local news. You don't have that awareness, that transparency. People don't really know what's going on. The politicians have a vested interest in downplaying things because, you know, they don't want to portray their community as being crime-ridden under their watch. Same thing with law enforcement. So it's not a very good mix. That's why you need people asking those questions and doing comparative analysis between, you know, local areas and say, hey, is this a problem, as big a problem over here as it is here? If it's not as big over there, why are they being successful at, you know, fighting it? Why are we not? But typically you're just left scratching your head and saying, well, you know, I don't know.
Well,
I see drug needles in the parks, and I see, you know, property crimes or, you know, people overdosing and, you know, things like that, but you don't really know all the details, and that's unfortunate.
Well, I have to hold to what I said a couple weeks ago, that there are just certain people in Caledonia that if we threw them in the Olentangy, it would be a much better life for everybody involved.
Oh, man, you're Caledonia hating, Scott.
I know. Well, you know, and the sad thing is, I have ties to Caledonia. And
it's in your blood.
Yes, it's in my blood, and I visited, my grandparents lived there mostly all their life, so I visited there quite a bit. And, you know, I've known other people who live there, but and the people ask me to light the Christmas tree. But the whole, there are just a few people there who are a little, you know, touchy.
Now, do you have the same animus for, like, LaRue and Green Camp and Waldo, all the provincial villages, or is it just Caledonia that draws your ire?
Well, I think it's just, I don't think it's Caledonia on the whole that draws the ire. I think it's a few people in Caledonia, because the other places, I really can't think of anybody who I really, I don't want to say I don't like. It's not don't like. It's just I don't have a whole lot of nice things to say about certain people. Let's clean it up here for the morning show this morning. We haven't talked for a few days. What'd you make of the groundhog?
Hey, I think it sounded like a good event. I think you guys made it a success.
You know what? I was as surprised as anybody when the national news picked up on it. I thought, hey, there you go.
Well, they may propel you because of the lack of the live groundhog. You may become the official sanctioned Ohio, maybe nationally. Maybe they'll give Punxsutawney Phil the boot and it'll be Warren Groundhog Harding.
You know what? I was truly shocked, and I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday about, you know, the Columbus media obviously did Buckeye Chuck as they normally do, and the Marion Star did that, and that's great, and I like that. But what was surprising to me is the national news didn't have a thing to say about Buckeye Chuck. You know, the headline was 6 more weeks of winter in Marion because of the thing that we did. And I don't know why that happened. I don't know if they took, because they also covered Punxsutawney Phil, so I don't know if they consider that to be the live groundhog of the world, and we were a niche event. So that's
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was just weird to me how that was covered, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Do you know how we get an early spring or 6 more weeks of winter? What's the rubric there?
Oh, yeah, well, the groundhog comes out and does see his shadow, then we are in for 6 more weeks of winter. However, if he does not see his shadow, then it's going to be in early spring.
But how do we know that? What is six more weeks of winter? And like this week's very nice, but next week's going to be highs in the 30s. So what's six more weeks of winter and what's an early spring?
Yeah. I don't know exactly. I mean, I think it's going to be definitely an early spring here. I mean, we're already seeing signs of that, you know, and some of the other wildlife and just the sun being out. I mean, this is beautiful. I could take this, you know, for the duration of the month of February, and hopefully not get a lot of rain. I mean, it's been pretty wet here the last couple of weeks, so it's nice to have a little respite from all the rain.
Well, and I would say, yeah, this week is definitely very spring-like, but next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's highs 39, 38, 37.
Yeah, that's still not bad.
No, well, I don't know. That's why I say, what makes an early spring? What makes six more weeks of winter? I don't know. Is it a snow thing?
Yeah, I'd probably say snow and ground temperature. You know, again, early spring, so if you're usually, you know, your ground is frozen during the winter time. So then if that thaws out and then plant life is coming out of hibernation, I'd say it probably has more to do with that. And when are you able to actually plant your crops? Because back in the day, like, our ancestors actually did things. They actually, like, you know, tilled the soil and did subsistence farming and took care of themselves. Nowadays, we go to McDonald's and order everything on an app and sit in front of a screen. It's just completely foreign to us, this whole idea of nature and being outside.
Well, that you know, that's absolutely true. And it's funny because people love the air condition. So you got to stay inside in the air condition all summer long. Have you been listening to the show this week?
I have. Yeah.
We've had some interesting yesterday was a very interesting day, I thought, because two things came out of yesterday's show that I haven't talked about this morning. Now, number one was the note that I got from the Women's Club thanking me for giving them the Madge Cooper stuff so they could do their resource center over there and include Madge. And, you know, it really got me to thinking, we need another Madge Cooper, because women in broadcasting in Marion, it was a big thing. She was the biggest thing in Marion radio in her day. You can go back and research this. And since her, we had Marianne Michaels for about 5 years at one point. But really, other than that, nobody had that type of mantle. And I'm thinking, well, who's going to be that person? Now, I said yesterday Carrington, because I felt, I think she has a lot of those qualities. But it could be somebody else. I mean, I think this is a very important thing, and I hate to play gender here, but it's just, when I worked at WMRN, we didn't have a female on the air. I don't think they have a female on the air right now. I don't. If they are, they're few and far between.
I think it's just a lack of community leaders in general. I mean, don't you think that we have a deficit in that? And we certainly have a deficit in community involvement, civic involvement at large in the population. But just look back to, like, when a lot of these, you know, like the Historical Society and, you know, the park districts and different, you know, groups were kind of forming in the 60s and the 70s and early 80s. You know, people like Carlton Myers and Trello Romine and Madge Cooper Guthrie, and, you know, there's a whole long laundry list of people that were instrumental in putting their time and energy into building, you know, these groups that raise awareness of the community and kind of benefit the public at large. And where are they? They're all dead. They're gone.
They are gone, but the problem is that for me, communication is very important, and a woman's voice and a woman's perspective is just different than a man's. And we have had a drought now for about at least 40 years where there have not been any prominent women on any radio station in any communication forum. And I think that is very bizarre. And that really should be corrected, because we are going into a new era, the digital era. And I want there to be a Madge Cooper of the digital era, but they're just not here in Marion, and it's very, very unfortunate. And like I said again, maybe that is Carrington. Maybe it's somebody else who I don't know. Maybe it's somebody who I do know, and they just have not expressed that they could do this. I don't know, but I think it's very important, because I think there is a difference between men and women. And we've had a lot of women on this station. You know, obviously Linda has been here since the start. Marge Hazlett was here for a period of time. We've had a lot of women on this station. But they just... Linda does a great job. And I think she's being very steady. But the, you know, as far as the younger women who you would put in that mold, because you've got to start fairly young. I mean, Madge was 31 when she started. That group, 30s and 40s, you know, the people we've had on were not particularly strong, let's say.
Well, we used to, our country was much more regionally diverse with resources, talent, money, the whole works, back in Madge's day. So that's when Marion, you know, actually had a manufacturing base, had, you know, tons of companies, prosperity, you name it. So, but it was also, like, from a news standpoint, from everything, you had resources that were in Marion. What has happened over the last 50 years? It's been drained, consolidated into Columbus, or a few core like cities in the country. You know, look at how much Washington D.C. has grown over the last 50 years, and with that, the federal government. But it's the same thing with Columbus. Columbus was, you know, for most of its history, was kind of a. I mean, it was always, you know, it was the capital of the state of Ohio, but it wasn't this big metropolitan center. Because it was just a different time. You had Marion, Lima, Mansfield, all these peripheral cities in the state that were strong and kind of had their own little contained economies and talent source and everything. Now everybody, so if there's a Madge Cooper Guthrie in Marion, chances are she's either in Columbus working at a station down there, or she's, you know, in Atlanta or L.A. or New York.
You know what's interesting, though, as we're coming up on the break here in a minute, and I hope we can continue this conversation after the break, it's fascinating because I would say some of that is probably true, but I know a lot of people in Marion who could be that, who are still here. I think that the people that we have chosen, unfortunately, like I said, they've come and gone, and there was probably a good reason for that. Carrington comes the closest at this point as a regular on-air person. But there are other people in Marion who maybe don't have a journalistic background. And P.S., Madge did not come from journalism. Madge came from teaching. She was a teacher in LaRue before she went on the air. So there you go, as far as needing a journalism background. I think that there are those people. I just don't know if they have the confidence in themselves to do it. But we're coming up on the break. We're going to talk more about this and also something else that came out of yesterday's show. So I hope you listen and call back in if it interests you.
All right, Scott.
Here comes the break.
The place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
and then just
I just made up that answer.
And then onward and upward. I like
mean,
it.
You're always a little bit miffed, of course, because everyone doesn't love you.